Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. We have a great show for you this week as we prepare for Christmas. We get a little fun on the podcast. I get this guy a great Christmas present. But before we get there, always do me a favor. Go to calvarybible.com, click your campus, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods, especially in the Christmas season, as we have so many activities happening before Christmas Eve here at Calvary. All right, Thomas, are you excited about this podcast?
Have a Merry Christmas.
Thomas, welcome.
Hey, Jay. I have no idea where you got that outfit.
Hey, welcome to the Calvary Christmas Spectacular today on the podcast.
Yeah, if you are a normal listener on the podcast, you're going to want to go to the YouTubes.
Yes, speaking of that, I got you a gift.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Is it a magic?
And we're opening it on YouTube. So on YouTube. If you're going to watch this, I got you a Christmas gift. You should open it right now. You should, wait, notice the wrapping. I ran out of paper on both ends, so I had to stuff extra. Yep, I had to pull
happens,
the dad move.
It happens to the best of us.
It does. I'm a horrible.
Are you not a
horrible wrapping paper guy? I don't have enough patience for it. That's my problem.
But you don't like, there's no ribbon.
No.
Handwritten notes. All right.
All right, here we go. Yes. Merry Christmas, Thomas.
I feel very nervous.
Oh, this is, like I said, it's the holiday show of Calvary this year.
It actually says Kristen Ewing on it.
Yes. It's just a box. Come on, keep moving. Keep moving. You're slowing us down here. Every pastor needs one of these. We are going to pause the show. The producers know about this.
Yes,
you're going to step behind the curtain and put on that shirt. We are back. I'm so thankful. Merry Christmas, Thomas.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for thinking of all the things I would love.
I had to ask permission from the wife on this one. I was like, trust me on this
one. Great.
Yeah.
Great. No, this,
what does your sweater say?
It's just right.
It says, go
it says,
Jesus.
Go Jesus.
It's your birthday. For years to come, I look forward to seeing this sweater.
Yeah, for years. This is now Christmas attire forever.
I tried to find a 4th of July Christmas sweater. It was not possible. Because that is your favorite holiday.
I'm glad you didn't do that. Now that we're dressed for the show.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to jump into your text this weekend because we are going to talk about the Bible today. But also, I thought it'd be fun to sort of create a holiday gift guide for those last minute individuals.
So number one would be a Christmas sweater.
That says, go Jesus, it's your birthday.
Check that off the list.
I don't know if a pastor should wear that because it's a little...
Irreverent?
Yeah, irreverent, a little bit.
So if I preached in this on Christmas Eve?
You would have some people's attention.
This would be the hook.
This would be the hook, maybe. Anyways, so.
I feel like Clark Griswold.
Yes, you do. You look like a senior pastor because you're wearing a collar underneath it. That's the only person I've ever seen wear a sweater like that. Okay. Not even the President of the United States would wear something like that.
Maybe.
Actually, maybe they would. Yeah, maybe. All right. We're talking about joy this week. Yeah. It's the Advent season. We lit the third candle, which is actually a different color, just to represent joy. It's a sort of marker in the middle of the season to remember that, like, this is about finding the presence of Jesus, which in ultimate reality will bring you great joy. And you were in Luke 2 this week. And... this is your 10th, actually, Erie Campus Christmas season?
Ninth.
No, this is the 10th. We will look at the preaches.
I think this is only 9. Next year is 10.
I don't know, because we started in August. That means...
yeah, 20, well...
It means you're in your 10th, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's your 10th Christmas. 10th yeah, 10th Christmas pre. So you've done...
Is this the 10th anniversary gift?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know the 10th anniversary was sweaters.
I think it's great. So, talking about joy, these are familiar passages these days to you, because of all these years of preaching. What was sort of the surprise of the week as you were studying through the text?
Of joy? Yeah. I don't know. I think the fact that joy is always actually a surprise. I think we're often surprised by joy would be the actual surprise of it all, that it catches us off guard. But here's the spoiler alert, is all of these themes kind of have the same rubric. So hope, love, joy, this week, peace, is that they're found in the source, which is God.
Which is, actually, I would say not God, but Jesus Christ himself.
Is Jesus God?
Yes. But sometimes when we use God, and this is my beef in the last year, that when we use the word God, it's a distant sort of figure. When we use Jesus Christ, it's actually a person who is found.
God came near in Jesus.
That's right. Just like a Christmas song would say.
I think that's actually the source of all joy, is being connected with God. But that's also the source of hope and love and peace. And then there's just all these things that keep us separated.
Yeah.
We're following other voices.
So this was your first preach of a topical sort of idea since we've been traveling through 1 Corinthians. Since we are a church that really likes to go from book to book, verse to verse, chapter from chapter type idea, how hard was it to switch gears into a topical sort of preach?
It's hard. I think it's a different roadmap for the sermon. And so it takes a little bit more time to think through it, because you don't want to just grab a bunch of verses.
Right.
You know, you don't just Google the word joy and see what comes up.
Right.
Or, you know, grab your...
I would hate to know if a pastor does that.
I think people might. But yeah, you can't just lift a bunch of joy passages out of the Bible.
Right.
You have to go figure out what multiple contexts look like. But you want to stay in one main text. So it's challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, it's challenging for me also.
That. Yeah. I'm sure it's a different type of muscle that you have to work when you're doing that. So we found ourselves in Luke 2.
Luke 2.
Why Luke 2 with joy?
That's because it's an announcement from the angels, right? The angels show up, and they are announcing what has been promised for hundreds of years. Think about that. For nearly 700 years, we were looking at the book of Isaiah. So 700 years before Jesus Christ is born, someone says, this is what God's going to do in the future. Mm.
That's super interesting.
Like, can you imagine, like, someone trying to make a prediction of what's going to happen in 10 years?
Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
I mean, let's go with that, right?
You're right.
Like, okay, we're going to do it. So you're going to assume that there's a Cowboys team.
Right.
And they're still a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they have to win it.
Yeah.
That's actually not that hard.
Maybe.
We talk about, okay, I'm going to make 500 of those predictions that are all going to come true within the Cowboys. So now I need you to name, like, who the quarterback's going to be.
Ooh.
What the score is going to be. Wow. Where the game's going to be played. What the weather's going to be like. You know, like, maybe that's almost impossible.
Yeah, that is impossible.
So that's the prophecy of Christmas.
So, okay, that's a brilliant sort of analogy, I think, of where we're going.
Angels, messengers, they're always the ones that are announcing the news of God, and they show up to shepherds.
It reminds me, this whole idea of angels.
Yeah.
There's some main characters within the birth narrative of Jesus. We got his cousin, we got his aunt and uncle, we have his parents, and then we have some strange characters like shepherds, magi, and one of the most dominant characters through there is angels.
Yeah.
Which is surprising to think of. The majority of what we know about angels in the New Testament resides within the birth of Jesus, or around the time of Jesus' birth.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. That's what it means. Because where are angels present as well in the New Testament? Revelation. Mm-hmm. And that means that something cosmic is happening. And I love that. It's sort of like this last week, it was released. We all knew this. This is really nerdy. But in the Skywalker saga of Star Wars, so the trilogy, okay?
Yeah.
There's a main character who's telling the whole story. And George Lucas finally confirmed what we all knew, which is R2-D2 is sort of the historian of the Skywalker series.
So wait, the whole time R2-D2's talking?
R2-D2 is the one who records and yes, is the sort of the thread individual through all this.
Was he there in the very beginning?
Yep.
R2-D2 was?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. How interesting is that? So it's like, it's a very interesting thing that going back to the birth narrative, that there's a thread here that God is doing something major and angelic beings show up to do it.
It's cool.
Yeah. So talk about joy. You slaughtered the English language a few times this Sunday. I love when you do it.
You like when I do that?
That is, I mock you, but I think it's actually really brilliant and very captivating. So it's only a jealousy mock.
No, it's like that. It's not actually what the words
right
necessarily mean, but the way you say them, it sounds.
Alliterations.
Yeah.
Of things.
And yeah, in some sense. But yeah, joy. I think the big thing about joy for me this week, you guys know what I'm surprised by, but I think that the intention of it was I want to talk to people who think that they don't have it and they can't have it because of their circumstances, right? And so that's who I think Jesus, shepherds, Mary, people who are dwelling in exile, who are dwelling in darkness, they don't think there's any joy.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the story invades our life. And I think our circumstances often overshadow joy. And the Christmas story is how does light come in and overwhelm our darkness so that we experience joy? And that's where I think I'm most interested in the conversation with joy is when it feels joyless. Mm. Where's God and how does he show up?
So what are some ways in which joy is robbed in our life?
Yeah. Talk about three thieves. There's a lot of thieves that steal joy. And
they're all C's.
Yeah.
Another.
Did you like that extra? Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was extra work.
Yeah.
Well, I went, I was like, okay, Christmas starts with a C. Maybe all the points good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first one was we use the word corruption, really just sin. It's whenever we have offended another person, specifically God, how it causes distance. What do you think about that? So in the sermon I mentioned, like distance isn't in the sense of like God abandons you and goes to the far side of the moon.
Right.
But distance is what you feel in broken relationship.
Yep.
And so, man, the person that you love the most when you are not right with them or you've offended them or they've offended you, right, man, you could sit in the same room on the same couch and you feel it.
No doubt. Your body feels it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, I mean, imagine you're at odds with your wife. And then you have to host a Christmas gathering at your house.
Never happened before.
It's never happened to me either. But hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically, yeah.
You're there and you're like, all the elements are the same.
Right.
Like food's there, music's on, games are there, people are there.
Festivities are in the air.
Absolutely. But.
But you're not right.
You're not right with your wife. Do you feel the joy of the evening?
No, that's a miserable night.
That's a miserable night. And I think that's a good picture of what's going on when we are not right with God, is all the things can actually be kind of buttoned up in our life, at least mechanically. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, I'm not enjoying any of this. Right. Why is that? I'm not right with my maker. Mm.
Okay, that's the first C.
Yep.
Now, I think it also leads, I was thinking another C when you were going through, like the consequence of that is it's purposely felt. I think it's a mechanism to catch our attention that the Lord uses to catch our attention.
Yeah.
Is that sort of the consequence of our sin or our unright relationship with him in a season of habitual sin or quenching the spirit or things of those natures.
I'm allergic to the sweater.
Yes, you are. That catch our attention to what he's doing and why we feel so absent from him or distant from him. And the reality, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's not a God who, like you said, goes to the far side of the moon. Yeah. He's a God who is actually present even in the midst of great consequence of sin.
And I think probably in our mind is the reason we put that distance as far as like geographical. Mm-hmm. It's probably because like a parable like the lost son or, you know, the sheep that have left and he has to go find that one sheep out of the 99. And in the story, there's distance there. Mm-hmm. But really what the word repentance is returning, right? So turn around. And when you turn around, who do you find is God's right there.
Yeah.
And so I have directionally turned my back on him. And that's the distance that I feel.
Yeah.
it's heading in the wrong direction.
I think you speak of a really practical application for this Christmas season. If someone's listening and feels very distant from God, actually, maybe the mechanism for reconciliation is repentance.
Yep, that's it. That's and the remedy.
This is a great season in which you to repent,
yeah,
to confess, to repent, to clean out the sort of the closet of your life in a season in which there's great mercy and grace and presence of the Lord in a Christmas season.
Yeah, I was, you know, this a couple of years ago talking to one of my boys, and I don't know what they had done. It was something that just kind of blew up the family dynamic because we were all enjoying like a game or something, and I don't know, one of them did something to offend another sibling.
Right.
So they go off to get some time to think about what they've done. And I just met with them and said, hey, how do you feel? I was like, I feel terrible. And it's like, do you know how we get back together where we were? Is God gave us the practice of confession. So you just need to come down and say, hey, I blew it. This is what I did. This is what I said or whatever.
Right.
Would you guys forgive me? And then you're welcome back in, and that resolves it. Otherwise, you're going to always have this like feeling in your heart of, oh man, did they really forgive me? Do they, you know,
right.
Do they want me to be here? And so even with God, just the remedy is confession.
Yeah. And the enemy loves to isolate you.
Yeah.
So when you're feeling that and you're like, I can't do that. I can't offer a confession or look for repentance or grace. That's the enemy saying you're not worthy.
Yeah.
And you need to step in to that feeling of stepping in.
Turn back into the Lord. Yeah. Turn back in.
So the second C was?
So, yeah. The second C is our comparison. Mm. And
this is a really good one for this season.
Well, I wanted to put in covetousness, but no one uses that word.
Right.
So comparison is basically, I wish I had your Christmas, your life, your whatever, you know.
My Christmas lights.
Yeah. I heard that some of your Christmas lights didn't work this year.
Dude, it was a train wreck of a Saturday.
Really?
I ended up saying, I'm throwing these strands away, and I can go buy new ones, or we could all load up and go to the movies. What do you want to do? And everyone chose the movies. So I don't have Christmas lights on the house.
You just need to get that one thing that, like, projects a good jillion lights on your house.
I do. And you're good. I think that's sort of cheating.
It's like the person that does it, and they have like a dark brown house.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, comparison. Because where's your focus and where's your eyes, where's your desires, is in someone else's life. Right. And, I mean, I know this is really simple, but gosh, just to be reminded, do you know where God wants to meet you? Is in your life.
Right.
And the content and the curriculum and all the circus of your life is where God wants to meet you.
Yeah.
Inform you and challenge you and shape you and mold you. It's like, okay, so stop getting eyes on someone else's. And the remedy then is gratitude.
Yeah. And society markets to this idea so well.
Yeah.
So well and so clever that you don't even realize they're doing it all the time. But yeah, it is really true of comparison is the thief of joy.
I know. If you think of sin or corruption and the enemy coming in and saying, you are alone, like you are isolated, then in comparison the enemy's voice is, you're not enough.
Yeah,
like this isn't
God's enough.
God's not good enough. Right. God's good for them but not for you.
Right.
And so again, that's the voice of the enemy. It's like, okay, stop, time out.
Yeah.
Gratitude then regrounds me in my life and say, Lord, this is where I see your activity.
I think this is really good when you think of the biblical narrative of Joseph and Mary had nothing. In fact, they couldn't even find a place to stay for the birth of the Savior of the world. And if you compare yourself with their life, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
You've got a hot shower, a car that might get you 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, right? That's pretty crazy.
It is. If you take one sheet of paper and write down what are all the good things in my life, I bet you the average person would fill it up pretty quick.
Okay, that's a really good Christmas practice right there.
Yeah.
For someone who's dealing with this comparison thing, is in the next few days before Christmas Eve service, sit down and write out that list. And see what the Lord brings to your mind.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, is find the simplest things.
Yeah.
Start with the simplest things.
Yeah. When I call my dad, sometimes he's like, Jay, I've won the lottery today. I'm like, oh, how? He's like, I woke up and I turned on water
yeah,
from the sink, and it's clean. I'm like, okay,
all right,
that's perspective. Yeah. Yeah, clean water. Okay, so the third.
So the third, before I move on, one of my mentors in the prayers of gratitude, and I can't remember where he picked this up, but he had said he had been learning to pray these prayers of, it would have been enough. Mm. So he opens up thinking about his day and says, man, it would have been enough, God, mm-hmm. for me just to wake up. But I'm waking up in this warm bed, mm-hmm. or I'm waking up in this house or this apartment mm-hmm. that's warm, that's safe. It would have been enough to have food on the table. Mm-hmm. But I'm eating like my favorite breakfast item, or I'm having a cup of coffee. It would have been enough mm-hmm. just to get me to work. But I got to drive here in whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so you just think through your day of like, man, I guess it just would have been enough if God did this, which he still doesn't have to do, but it would have been enough. And then just look at how much more. So he doesn't just feed you. He feeds you with treats, you know, around right. this time. Or it would have been enough just to have a friend, but now I have a community of people that I hang out with, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's really good. That's a really good practice.
So, yeah, the third one is just circumstances. I think we often find that we lose joy because of our circumstances. And there are, yeah. I think we've mentioned two sides of one coin. So one is circumstances in riches, mm. where the riches crowd out mm. God. And because if God is the source, or if Jesus is the source of joy, yeah. and you crowd him out, then the source of joy is actually not present in your life. So all the blessings God gave you mm. actually crowded out God himself. Mm. And so that's where, I mean, I've experienced this before. Maybe you probably never have because you're a holy man.
Whatever.
But it's keep like, going. Again, Christmas is put together. All the things that should be there are there. And you kind of just walk through the whole thing going, I just don't really find any joy in this anymore.
Right.
It's like, oh, man, did all of this crowd out space where God's not present in your life? Mm. And so we said the remedy is generosity.
Yeah.
To reconnect your heart to God's heart.
And we have a really great mechanism in this season for that, the heart of Advent.
Yeah, that's why that's one of the reasons we do it.
Yeah, to spend less, give more, worship yeah. fully in the heart of Advent. And really it's about stepping outside of ourselves and thinking about the greater world in which God is doing something. In this season, we're doing food. Mm-hmm. There's, yeah, packing meals.
And we're going to pack 360,000 meals.
Yeah.
It's a lot of meals for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's important for us in this season to know that, like, the church is here to remind you of these three C's, the consequence. What was the first one?
First one is corruption.
Corruption.
Sin.
Sin.
Yeah.
And then the second one is
covetousness
or contempt.
Comparison.
Comparison. And the third is this one, which we can step in and in the heart of Advent know that because we are generous, we can actually find greater joy. It is so much more fun to give a present than receive one.
I mean, I know that is like a platitude,
it is
a cliche.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It is so true.
And I do think the most generous people, the ones who aren't really, really holding on to every single thing they have, either that's their time or their talents, treasures, they're the most generous are the most joyous people.
Yeah.
Like right. They get to enjoy what they have, whereas they're not clinging to it.
Right.
The people who are so... I use the word stingy, but, you know, it's like I just can't loosen my grip on my time, money, my possessions. It's just little joy. It's like their grip is so tight on their stuff, it's like squeezing all the joy out of their life.
And thus they wrote the Christmas Carol, and we got Scrooge.
Right?
Yeah, right, right.
And so then when he, at the end of the movie, when he's giving.
He's more joyous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But the one that I think we feel is the circumstance of just grief and sorrow and suffering, especially around this time when it just can feel like a circus of sorts.
Right.
And we do feel like we have to pretend to make sure everyone else feels joyful, mm-hmm. and we're not feeling it.
Yeah. And some of those circumstances are real. Maybe this is the first Christmas you haven't spent with a loved one.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is the first Christmas that your kids are actually at the opposite side of the family now.
Yeah.
Spending Christmas with someone else. Maybe this is a Christmas in which your circumstances for the year have been really rough and hard.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we remind ourselves that in all things, Jesus meets us.
That is the situation in which Jesus comes into.
Yeah.
is, I mean, the Bible calls it darkness. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Is if you're feeling darkness this year, that's what Jesus came into. Mm. So that's where we butchered the English language, so to speak, of the tripart nature of joy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You think that's true?
Yeah. I do think it's true. I think that those are really important sort of steps and ideas to sort of think about in this Christmas season.
Yeah. So if circumstances enjoy. Are going well, I'm enjoying joy, it, right? Yes. I'm in joy. That's what I think of when I hear the word.
Right.
And then if circumstances aren't going well, I'm not enjoying Christmas or enjoying my life.
You're in despair.
So what do you do, right? And it's like, well, you have to you've got to do something that maybe drop from the past. So you rejoice.
Yeah.
Right? You drop back up. And I actually think, even as the scriptures call it, to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You're looking at what has happened. So like they finish the temple and they rejoice. They come into the land and they rejoice. Right. It is like this is what has been accomplished. Now, it could be in close proximity, or you can do what the psalmist says. I will remember and rejoice in what you've done. And then he recounts what happened in Egypt.
Right.
That's hundreds of years before him. So I think that's a way that we rejoice. Like you think about God's faithfulness.
And then the future one, which is really hard, is we have joy. Will joy?
Will joy.
Almond joy? I don't know where we're going here.
Almond joy. Have you thrown almond joys in the freezer ever?
No. I hate almond joys.
Just throw it in the freezer. You'll like almond joys now.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, you know, what is the future of...
Count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
Yeah. So you have to look forward to that God is who's active in your life right now, what he will do. And the scriptures are clear that he's going to work all things, even this mess we got ourselves in or the circumstances. He's going to work all things for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. And so you just have to say, okay, I'm going to count it all joy. Like, I count on it. Mm-hmm. There will be joy again. There'll be joy in the morning. There's weeping in the evening, at night. There'll be joy in the morning. That's who my God is. And so I'm banking on it. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. I think that's remarkable. I think that piece, you just think of Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross.
Yeah, you can see all three of those sort of ideas of joy also in the birth narrative of Mary and Joseph, of the Magi, the shepherds. It's all there. That they're demonstrating to us that regardless of whatever the circumstances was in that season, the Messiah was coming.
Yeah.
The Savior of the world, Emmanuel. And that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's the looking forward to God fulfilling his promises.
That's great. Okay, switch gears. For the last minute shoppers, holiday gift guide.
Yeah. What would you get? Well, you have to say it's probably too late for a delivery, right?
It's getting close.
Oh, is it? You can still get something delivered?
I think we're one more day out.
Okay. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because you haven't shopped for anybody yet, except for me with this sweater.
I think, we always talk about having a great Bible, paper Bible, ESV, study Bible.
Okay.
It's a really good gift. That's really rough when someone doesn't know the Lord that they get a Bible.
Yeah.
So be careful. It could be sort of condemning maybe a little bit too, but... If you have someone who loves the Lord who doesn't have a great paper Bible, the ESV study Bible.
It's a good one.
Yeah. What else? What would you
want? I didn't know we were going like super spiritual. I was thinking like Lego sets.
Star Wars Lego sets. No, it's the Calvary gift guide here.
This is the Calvary gift guide. I would think you want to do experiences. So I would put together last minute, like maybe you go grab, you don't even have to buy a movie anymore because it's all streaming.
Yeah.
But you go put together like, if it's a significant other or like a family, popcorn bucket with some movie snacks, whatever, and then wrap it up and say, hey, this is what we're going to have.
That's great.
Night.
Yeah.
Or I think for your spouse, I think like a nice massage has to be in there somewhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that's like, you just walk into any place and say, hey, I need a certificate for a massage. Throw that in a stocking, thinking about you.
That'd be pretty amazing.
That'd be good.
Yeah. You know, hot tub now, as you mentioned, it would be a great gift for Jay Ewing this year.
Yeah, let's see if I can get you.
Let's see where we're going on this gift guide. No, I think there's some really great digital gifts to give. Logos Bible Software is a great gift to give in a year. It's your subscription to Logos Bible Software.
Oh, yeah, you do cool. That.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go buy that. It's just like, here's a subscription.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
What else would you do?
Well, a buddy of mine, we're going to his holiday gathering this weekend. He and his wife, they're so creative all the time. And what they ask is everyone shows up with a book that they've already read. And it's actually the copy of the book they read, not a new copy. They wrap it up, and then we exchange books for the next year.
Oh, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah. So yeah. It actually costs you nothing more than what you've already spent.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Also, you know, if you're looking for books, there's always a great place to start is any C.S. Lewis book.
Mm-hmm.
For those who maybe go to the store like Barnes & Noble or whatever, still, that's you don't have to wait for shipping on that one.
Yeah, just walk in and grab it.
C.S. Lewis, Bonhoeffer, those are great books to always give as gifts.
Yeah.
All right. What are you most grateful for in this Christmas season here at Calvary?
Honestly, I think it's got to be, if my answer is not Jesus, mm-hmm. like it normally is, it's got to be community. Like, I love being on staff with the staff that we have. Mm-hmm. I love doing church with the families that we're doing it with. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
Yeah, that's a really, really good word. Hey, for all those who are tuning in, we're so grateful you have watched, listened, subscribed, commented on the weekly this year. We're so grateful for our listeners who faithfully listen each week. Know that we're going to take a break now and pick up back in the 2025 year.
In the future. Make a prediction.
In 2025, Thomas and Jay will still not have hair on top of their head. I make a prediction that Thomas has lost his beard by then.
Ooh, nice.
But we will pick it back up as we start back into our Mark It Up series, 1 Corinthians, Undivided. We can't wait to sort of re-engage that book after the Christmas Advent season. But for all those who looking for a church to attend on the Christmas Eve night day, you should go to calvarybible.com/Christmas. Find out what campus is doing at what Christmas service time. Here on the Erie campus, we have 5 services. Boulder, there's 2. In Thornton, there's 3.
Yep, 3 services.
And so there's plenty of opportunities for you to step into this community and center your heart around Jesus Christ this season. We hope from the weekly, the producers, all that make this thing whirl, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. See you in the new year.